dark of night. He had traveled 1,000 miles as the crow flies, and likely twice that distance in his meandering but enjoyable western journey. Enjoyable, but only when he wasn't looking back to the east. And he was now, images of beautiful Donala Topolino so clear in his thoughts. When he closed his eyes, he could see her more clearly, and could feel her touch, her gentle fingers brushing his skin, her warm breath whispering into his ear. He could smell her sweetness, taste her.
"Runt!" he heard loudly, shattering his memories.
And Regis nearly fell off the wagon as he wheeled around to regard the shouter, the dirty man driving the wagon.
"Get me some water and be quick,"
the man, Kermelon by name, ordered.
"Or I'll slap ye in the mud and suck the water out of your ears."
"Aye, and might be taking a bit of your brains with it then, eh?"
said Kermelon's co-pilot, Yoger, a burly man who was dressed and bathed a bit cleaner, but by all accounts remained no less a ruffian than the other. Regis climbed fully into the wagon and inched his way along the right-hand rail to the back of the driver's seat, where Yoger handed him a water skin. He quickly filled it at the tapped keg, then handed it back.
"You better listen and move quicker,"
Kermelon warned. Yoger took a deep drink but never stopped staring at the halfling.
"You know my namesake, I trust," Regis said.
"Can't say that I do," said Yoger.
"They call him Grandfather Pericolo."
"Thought he was your uncle."
"Everyone calls him Grandfather,"
Regis said slyly. But he could only snort and shake his head, for the obvious reference to Pericolo as the head of an assassin's guild was clearly lost on this ignorant peasant.
"Go back and sit down and shut your mouth," Kermelon told him. "Ye paid for a ride to Daggerford, and ye might be getting there, but if you're too much to bother, I'm dropping ye in the mud and leaving ye."
Regis was more than happy to comply. He started to turn, but paused just long enough to view the smoke of campfires rising above the trees not far ahead. He nodded, remembering the Borskir Bridge and the merchant encampments perpetually set on either side.
"It is a good place," he said, hardly thinking, and only realized he had spoken it out loud when both men turned to regard him curiously.
Regis just tipped his fabulous beret at them and moved to the back of the wagon. The white tents dotted the sides of the road long before the mouth of the bridge, a virtual city of merchant kiosks and open markets. The 10 wagons of the Daggerford caravan pulled up into an open field along the right side of the road, where corrals had been set up and smoke rose from blacksmith fires. This place was well suited for resupply, for shoeing horses, and even buying new ones if necessary, though since the roads were empty for scores of miles on either side of the bridge, such services and goods did not come cheap. Regis was glad to be away from his thuggish drivers, and glad to be wandering around the bustle of a marketplace. Dressed in silken finery, all purple and blue, with blue-dyed lambskin riding gloves, and with his beret and bejeweled rapier both prominently displayed, he played the role of halfling aristocrat perfectly. Donala had trained him well, after all, and that after decades of his previous life in the palaces of the pashas of Kalimport. Many of the merchants around Borskir Bridge were from the kingdom of Amun, and Regis knew the traditions and customs of that land very well. He was the perfect blend of experience and seeming innocence, floating around the tents with smiles and tips of his beret. He wandered from kiosk to kiosk, feigning approving looks at many trite trinkets and baubles, but then stopped at one table, his eyes locked on a square piece of whitened bone.
"You fancy the ivory?"
said the chubby merchant, dressed in the white robes and colorful vestments common in the southern deserts.
Very rare, from the great beasts of Chult."
Regis moved his hand toward the block, but paused and looked to the merchant for permission. The man nodded eagerly. Regis rolled the block around his hands, the feel bringing him to another place in time.
"Ivory from the jungles," the merchant proclaimed.
But Regis knew better.
"Trout bone," he corrected, "from the northern lakes."
The merchant started to argue, but Regis fixed him with a look that brooked no debate. The halfling knew this material intimately, and just holding it now brought his thoughts careening back to the banks of Mare de Walden in Icewind Dale.
"How much?"
he asked.
for he needed to have this piece. His gaze roamed the table and out to nearby tents. He had some items on his housebreaker harness, small tipped knives and tiny files that would suffice for many of the cuts, but he would need a true carving knife, he decided.
"Ivory," the merchant insisted. "Five pieces of gold."
"Knucklehead trout bone," Regis corrected, "and I will give you two."
2 and 20 silver.
2 and 5, said Regis. "It is only impatience that makes me offer that, as I will be along the Sword Coast soon enough, traveling north, where the material is plentiful."
"You are a carver, then?"
Regis nodded. "I was."
"Was? When you were a child?"
the man said with a laugh, and Regis joined in, reminding himself silently that he wore the body of a young halfling, barely an adult.
"You make something pretty, and I will sell it for you, yes?"
the merchant asked, taking the coin and handing over the block.
"You will find me here. I will sell your wares 60-40.
70-30.
61.
71,
Regis said, more than matching the merchant's zest, his halfling eyes sparkling. This was all about the arguing, he knew. The bargaining was worth more to these merchants than the extra coin they sometimes gained or saved.
"Aha," said the merchant. 65, then. But you must promise to be quiet, so my other vendors will not carve me into something not so pretty, yes?"
"Spider Pericolo Topolino,"
the young halfling introduced himself with a slight bow.
"Adi abba adidas,"
said the merchant with a much more flowery dip. They shook hands and the merchant patted the halfling hard on the shoulder.
"We will do very much good business, yes," he declared.
Spider moved around the tents, always politely feigning interest in this or that. He walked with the air of importance and confidence, one gloved hand always resting on the sparkling hilt of his magnificent rapier, the other ever ready to tip his beret. Across the road, following directions Adi had given him, he found a kiosk that held many herbs of interest to him. He had no intention of giving up his alchemy training, after all, particularly with a small still and other needed alchemy items safely tucked away in his magical belt pouch. To Regis's delight, the merchant herbalist also had several scrolls for sale, details for various concoctions Regis did not know, including a recipe for a potion of healing. That lightened his supply of coin considerably, of course, but Regis left with a lighter step and a sincere grin. Yes, this day was moving along splendidly, all the more so because it had brought him a reprieve from the annoying Kermelon and Yogur. That thought almost was prophetic, for coming around the corner of one row of tents, Regis spotted the drivers talking to a pair of